You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where, of course, we talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East. I cover the Pacers for Forbes and the Fieldhouse and the West Indianapolis Community News. And today we're kind of talking about a real basketball game, sort of, kind of, that would have happened yesterday. Pacers-Suns was scheduled to be in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Obviously, that did not happen. Did not get to see TJ Warren punk on his old team. However, the Suns are running this thing where the rest of the season they have one of their players play 2K, a 2K version of the game, against a player for the other team. So Brian Bowen played as the Pacers against Frank Kaminsky, who plays the Suns, in a fun 2K simulation of what the game might have looked like. You'll be surprised to know the Pacers did beat the Suns in the simulation. And we're going to break that down, and we're going to talk about, of course, Brian Bowen, because we got to see him in his season. And to do that, my colleague over at the Fieldhouse, former man in charge of 8.9 seconds, just like me, Ryan Eggers. Ryan, how's it going, man?
Hey, how are you doing, Tony? I'm doing pretty well. It was an interesting experience. What were your thoughts?
It was interesting because, you know, I know the Suns are doing it, or at least because they're doing it the day of their scheduled games, at least to me, I get the impression that they're trying to act like this is a surrogate for games. And it's not, right? It's just totally different feel. There's no real crowd. But things like that. But it was fun to see, like, a competition that
It's something that, you know, if you're sticking to the NBA schedule, so you're able to have everyone kind of, I mean, I don't know if you saw the view numbers on Twitch. It didn't seem like it's something that's getting, you know, crazy view numbers, but it's something that, you know, if you do it at 6 or 7 p.m., you know, every time that you have a game, you're getting at least, I don't know, like the 1 or 2,000 maybe Suns fans that are just that desperate for any kind of content.
We watched it.
And I mean, yeah, we watched it. I don't know if I would necessarily watch it every game of the season, but especially for, I mean, it was about 45 minutes long. It was an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I had fun. It's not watching sports. It was basically like watching Brian Bowen and Frank Kaminsky have fun, which was
interesting. Yeah, honestly, the game itself was like probably what you see in like 95% of any 2K games online.
It was.
They both clearly had played 2K before, but I mean, Brian Bowen was basically just, you know, driving to the rim with whoever had the ball and then passing whenever he got stopped.
Well, I was going to say, I want to talk about how they played like it would be real life, where the Pacers took 8 threes and the Suns took 26. See, they were ready.
Yeah. Kaminsky was super big on, and he shot so many threes with big man, himself included. And I think let's not spoil the end of the game, but near the end of the game, he had some prayers with Saric that just weren't going in. And it was very interesting to see how they played. I kind of wish we could see this, like if we're going to see more of this, I would love to see different players kind of take the sticks to see if maybe, because I mean, it seemed like Kaminsky played very much like a center would play 2K, and Bowen played very much like a guard would play 2K. So I'd like to see if that holds up.
That's true.
With other players.
Yeah, the thing is about the way Bowen plays with guards is it was a lot of like hammer the drive, hammer the drive, hammer the drive. Bowen's Pacers. I don't know what to call them. The Pacers, Bowen. The virtual Pacers managed by Brian Bowen. Scored 70 points in the paint out of 93 points. That's absurd.
Yeah, also got to the line 18 times. 15 of those, 4 out of 7 for Kaminsky's Suns. That's probably the difference right there.
Yes, that's huge. Yeah, that was his strength. And it's funny because he had Jeremy Lamb, who was pretty good for him. But he hammered Brogdon, Vic, Lamb, McConnell. That was one of my favorite moments of the game. This was not a drive, but McConnell was dribbling behind the three-point line, and Frank Kaminsky pulled Ricky Rubio off of him into the paint. And Brian Bowen said, oh, how are you going to disrespect him like that? And then canned a three with McConnell. And it was pretty funny.
Yeah. There was a few moments that I really enjoyed. There was one where McConnell was at the free throw line and they did like a little close up of his face. And I mean, it's 2K20. So we've advanced pretty far technologically. It was a pretty realistic TJ McConnell, and Brian Bowen was pretty taken away by it. I actually wrote down the quote because I thought that was super funny. He was like, that's crazy. He just looks like, or he looks just like him. Except I think he looks better in the game than in real life. I kind of made me chuckle.
Yeah. There's some great quotes in this. Like Frank Kaminsky threw the ball to virtual Frank Kaminsky at the top of the key. There was like 3 seconds of the shot clock, and he's like, finally, the ISO call we've been waiting for. And then he had a shot clock violation.
Yeah, no shot clock awareness.
Brian Bowen just starts cracking up. Yeah. That's the play you've been waiting for. Oh, so
yeah, I know we'll get into Bowen's season itself later, but just from watching that game, it was interesting the way he talked about his teammates. It seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like he had a pretty nice rapport with them, and the way he would kind of playfully razz them, it seemed like he got along pretty well with them in his first season.
Something, I mean, that's maybe taking
a lot away from 45 minutes, but.
something I enjoyed about that similarly is like Miles got that, he had a steal with Miles Turner that led to a breakaway dunk, and he called him like MT, or like you call him Lambo or something. You know, like he got to
hear
how he refers to his teammates.
Yeah. That's another aspect of why I feel like it would be interesting to see this stuff with different players. I mean, I don't know how many players on any given team are actually 2K players. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of these other Sun broadcasts. Are they only doing them with Kaminsky?
I've seen highlights. So they did one against the Timberwolves. Ty Jerome was the Suns, and Josh Okogie was the Timberwolves.
Oh, that's cool.
And they were a little more communicative with each other. And I think that would take the broadcast up a notch.
They were both, I mean, they had like the little quips, but they were more just about like their own gameplay rather than like trash talking each other that much. And also, like any 2K game, I mean, there were definitely moments where it seemed like they were kind of focused in and then just not talking a lot, which, I mean, if they were, pro 2K players, that'd be one thing. But, it's definitely, we're definitely watching that for entertainment. So the more commentary would have been nice, but I mean, at the same time, things are just going to be natural. I mean, they're playing a video game. You definitely don't want to script things, I guess.
Hey, so let's take a little switch here from talking about video games to talking about the lovely people over at Blinkist. Blinkist is possibly the most useful app you could have on your phone. It's really unique. You can be on your tablet or your web browser also. But what it does is they take the need-to-know information from thousands, thousands, thousands of nonfiction books, condenses it from the full length of the book to like 15 minutes segments that you can read or listen to instead. So you can save a bunch of time, not have to read the full book, and get the full takeaway. And it has the audio feature, which is great for commutes, for whenever you need to do it. I have heard of Blinkist is really good when driving and traveling. A lot of people like Blinkist because it's the fastest way to like intelligently be informed quickly. Some quotes from listeners say, I like Blinkist because it helps me get the key takeaways of a book in only 15 minutes so I can incorporate those learnings into my life immediately. So really great way to digest a lot of information. They have books basically of any type that you could want. So with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for the audience of this show. Go to Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/MBA to try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off of a subscription. That's Blinkist.com/MBA to start your 7-day free trial and save 25%.
What did we learn about Brian Bowen? Brian Bowen loves all of his teammates because, so the final score was 93-87. They made every minute count. It was like a 3-point game with a minute.
The final score was, I believe, 93-87.
Did I get that wrong? I got that wrong.
I don't know. I feel like you said 73. I'm not sure.
Bowen played 12 guys on his Pacers.
Yeah, he had a
that made me smile. He got Leaf in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you brought up that Leaf was in, and I mean, I wasn't like 100% glued to the game. Like I was, scrolling through Twitter in the other tab, like occasionally, but I had no idea that Leaf was in the game.
Yeah, he had Leaf in. He played Goga a ton.
Yeah, I love the Goga.
And TJ McConnell play. Goga was good in this virtual game.
Yeah, he really was. Playing 2K, I mean, I play 2K as well. I've probably been playing my team the most this year, but I played a lot of Play Now Online in the past. And they changed the format to where you can't just pick the same team every time. Like, there's different tiers if you want to advance. But playing with the Pacers, Goga definitely has been kind of an underrated asset. Definitely plays better than maybe his real life counterpart did this season. But
I think centers are a little too good in 2K.
Yeah, especially this year. There's definitely been a little bit of an and
I
like
gathered that
just with how fast they are, like
yeah, Miles was ridiculous.
Like I'll be in my team and Shaq can, you know, chase point guards down. Like and like
well, that one's maybe fine.
Well, yeah, my team's a little different because of the way the cards work. But yeah. But honestly, like it was for watching a 2K game itself, it was pretty entertaining. Like neither of them really got out to that big of a lead. It was basically bucket to bucket, like all the way throughout. It was 25-24 Pacers after one, 50-48 at the half, 70-67 after three. And then, yeah, the Pacers won by like six at the end. But it was actually a lot closer than that. Leading up to that last minute, I forget if it was a steal or just a rebound, but Kaminsky had the ball in transition and pulled up with Booker, but just had his like toes on the line of the three. And that would have been tying it. But instead it's 88-87. And then Bowen actually pulled out a pretty sick pick and roll action with Turner and Depot. Turner set a pretty nasty screen just outside the perimeter, then rolled up to the paint and was able to make a layup to make it 90-87 with, I don't know, like 20 seconds.
That was another like Bowen playing like the Pacers thing is the last 4 minutes. He just called pick and roll every time.
Yeah, he did. And then Saric missed like, I think one or two potential game tying threes. And then Bowen, I mean, he wasn't making all of his free throws at the end there, but
he tried to blow it.
He was splitting them, so he was able to keep a good enough distance.
I was actually disappointed Bowen didn't check himself into the game.
Yeah, me too. Kaminsky kind of riffed off of playing with him, playing with his own character a little bit, which was kind of cool. I mean, I don't know. It seemed like Bowen was just – I couldn't tell if he was – it seemed like he was just using the automatic subs most of the time. But
yeah,
it would have been cool to put himself in. But, I mean, he understood that – it was a close game. Like you got to keep the starters in crunch time.
So how far from real life would you say this is for a Pacers?
How far from real life?
No. Let me get to this. Brogdon and Vic against the Suns. I mean, Brogdon wouldn't have played, but if say he was healthy for this real game, Brogdon and Vic combined for what appears to be 45 points on 18 of 27 shooting. How close?
Wow.
Bowen loved the guards. Those two are great. And to be fair, I think against Ricky Rubio and Devin Booker, not that crazy.
I don't think it's that crazy either. The efficiency might have been a little crazy. I mean, Brogdon and Depot probably would have taken more threes.
Yeah, it took one combined three out of those 27 shots.
But, I mean, Bowen definitely relied on his guards, whoever was out there, to initiate the offense. And yeah, I mean, it was interesting that they set the quarters to, I think it was either 7 or 8 minutes. Cause yeah, 93-87, maybe not in like 2010 NBA, but I mean, that would have been a pretty realistic, like early 2010s NBA score.
Yeah, in three quarters of a game, he put up 93. They were on pace for like 130 to 125 or something crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Real barn burner.
Yeah. But outside of just the absolute disparity between drives and three-point shots, which, I mean, definitely still exists within the Pacers, but not to the extent that it was in the digital Pacers game. Honestly, not that bad. I like comparing it to the realistic Pacers, too. I feel like that's a
thing. I know. I think if I do another one of these games, I have to compare it to realistic Pacers because I don't want to just talk about, like, virtual reality the whole time, you know?
Yeah, and also, like,
real podcast.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's no, like, actual competitive nature to this stuff. I mean, the Suns are just doing this for entertainment value. Like, they're not prepping these people up. Like, there actually was something at stake, which you guys can watch out for on social media.
Oh,
assuming in the next few days. They at the start of the game, they put I forget what they were saying, but the wager was essentially like with each quarter, whoever wins the quarter, like it was like 10 push-ups, and then like the loser of the game, it was like 30. And by the end of it, I think the tally was that Kaminsky has to do like 60 push-ups.
Lost all but one quarter and the game.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not sure. They didn't do it on camera, and he said that there was no time limit. So it seems like it was something that, you know, he's in no rush to do. But You know, look out for that in the next few days. Maybe it'll be a fun little social media NBA content that's kind of just getting us through these days of no actual basketball action.
Man, always off. Well, we can spend these days complaining about something I just learned about 2K, because I do not own 2K20 or 2K19. This is my first time seeing 2K for a while, and I just learned that Sabonis and Ayton have the same overall rating in 2K, and that seems like a bunch of rubbish to me.
Yeah, that's pretty blasphemous in my
opinion. Did I just say rubbish? I never say rubbish.
Harry Potter weekend on Freeform out here. honestly, I feel like the way 2K, you know, justifies their rankings sometimes, it's pretty inconsistent. I feel like you kind of have some ratings that are very reactive to just like the given season, which, I mean, I could understand that rationale because it's a yearly game. You're buying it every year. That makes sense to me. But you also have plenty of players that get, you know, special treatment because they're a household name, and their ratings don't drop that deep because of a poor season or a poor, you know, stretch of games. It feels like Oladipo did not get that well treatment since he's in an 83 right now.
83, unbelievable.
And Sabonis did not get the proper treatment of, you know, the incredible all-star season he's having right now, just being at an 85. I mean, it is what it is. Anyone that's like played 2K as a Pacers fan for years can tell you that we never really get that much love in terms of the ratings. But I don't know. I'm fine with them taking either as an explanation, but they got to pick one. And, you know, either Sabonis or Oladipo are really getting kind of the boot there. I'm feeling Sabonis. He should probably be pushing 87, 88, 89 at this point.
I have one more question for you before we talk some Brian Bowen.
Sure.
Ideal world. Every Pacer owns a copy of 2K and can play against Frank Kaminsky. Who's the most entertaining Pacer to watch play this game?
Yeah, that's a tough one. My instinct just tells me that I would want to see Vic do this. I feel like we would get a bit of singing. We'd get some comedy. Like, I feel like he's just like the kind of personality that's built for streaming almost, video games, that is. But I don't know. I mean, that also just feels like such like a cheap answer. And, you know, you get one shot to be on the Locked On podcast or the Locked On Pacers podcast. And you want to give something more interesting.
But he is the best answer.
He's definitely the best answer. But I mean, there's a few other people that, like, back in the day, Roy Hibbert was a huge gamer. Or, I mean, he still is, but like, he was, you know, not shy talking about it, like, as a Pacer. It was more like Call of Duty and stuff. I remember Paul George was like into Destiny for a long time.
Paul George is on the COD streaming right now. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Are there any Pacers that stream?
Like, I don't think so, but I did have an answer that wasn't Vic.
Oh, what was your answer?
I learned at Media Day that none other than Goga Batadze is an avid Fortnite fan. So I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine Goga's little foreign twang playing 2K. I think that'd have been really fun.
Honestly, how many of like just all NBA players like 23 and under right now are playing Fortnite, though? Like, it seems very common.
All of, like, them.
I think Booker found out that the league was suspended. I forget if it was Fortnite.
Yeah, it was a different battle royale game. Warzone.
Yeah.
Are you ready to talk about some as much of Brian Bowen as we possibly can?
Yeah, all five games, like, I don't know, like 30, I don't know how many so minutes that he had of Pacers action.
All over. That's the whole lead. You just buried the lead immediately. Yeah, it's like so much of 29 minutes you can really talk about. I know I was really hype. I know his mom was really hype because she retweets everything I tweet about him, and I love it. It's so fun. When he checked in, I think they're playing they blew out the Thunder really early when somehow the Thunder were not good. I mean, it's amazing the Pacers beat them twice. He checked in at the end of that game and hit his first NBA bucket. I remember that. And I remember his second bucket not too long before he started, and that's literally all I remember of his NBA experience. Although I will say, the Pacers outscored the other team with Bowen on the court 4 out of 5 times. So their garbage time lineup is too good. But yeah, I do remember his garbage time buckets. But like, there's nothing you can really draw about a player and what they can, like, what impact they had on your team and how good they could be in the future from garbage time. The most playing time you had in a game before that start against the Bulls was like a little under 5 minutes. At start, though, we can talk about that because
He played 15 minutes, and despite not making a shot, I was actually impressed that they said, okay, you know, you're filling TJ Warren and Doug McDermott's shoes. Just don't screw up. And he did a pretty good job of being out of the way on offense, which I thought was pretty important for him.
Yeah. I mean, you're always a big fan of players that just simply aren't a negative on the court. I think that's why you stand Corey Joseph for so long.
I do love Corey Joseph.
I mean, when you're out there in your first starting opportunity, I mean, it takes courage to, and especially in a game that the Pacers really needed to win, to like embrace your role, and rather than, you know, just try to, you know, make something happen every time you get the ball in your hands. I think that's something that we see a lot, or saw a lot, in Aaron Holiday back when he was getting inconsistent minutes. He's just, you know, really desperate to make things happen when he had the ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice that he didn't force it. But at the same time, I mean, he didn't do much either. And it, like, in the grand scheme of things, you know, we don't have to get too much into his past, but just knowing that it took a lot for him to get to the league,
right,
and seeing where he is now, it's too bad that we haven't been able to see him in the NBA too much. I really don't think you can take too much away from this season in terms of if Brian Bowen has a future in the NBA or not. I mean, I don't really see. I mean, do you see much of a future of with him in the Pacers organization?
You don't, like, you know, maybe.
There's just a lot of names in front of him.
Here's my maybe rationale. Yes, there are a lot of names in front of him. You are absolutely right. So he went undrafted, a lot of reasons, right? NCAA stuff was a disaster. Australia, they're good. Australia is a good league, so he's not getting the – I play for Louisville, I'm getting playing time minutes that he could to show off his skills, right? Undrafted. But he got a two-way immediately. Like,
yeah.
Pacers were like, McDonald's All-American. You know, you don't just
forget. And you definitely can't deny the high school accolades. I think he was ranked 14th. So, like, it wasn't like a situation where he was a fringe guy in the first place.
Like, sure, guys can get better than you in that year, but it's not like you forget how to play basketball. Yeah,
and exactly.
You're still close to your peers, so – I think giving him that two-way right away, that can – I mean, maybe there was some back from him of like, yes, I love that a team is committing to me after getting undrafted, but I think there's some level of faith in him, and they were totally willing to let him play a ton of minutes in the G League. He played 34 minutes a game down there. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, his G League minutes were impressive.
They were good.
Yeah, like
– well, and they started terrible, so his stats aren't like – like, remember Jeff Teague, his first 10 games with the Pacers were just horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So his stats at the end of the year being good is, like, reflective that he was actually pretty good for, like, 60 games. I think Bowen's kind of like that because, I mean, you wouldn't know this, no offense, but the Mad Ants, he started pretty bad for them. And the 20 games since the beginning of the season, he really picked it up. In January, he was ridiculously good. So, I mean, it's pretty rare that a two-way guy comes back because a lot of times teams are just want the goodwill of – you go explore whatever option you can get. And I think, like you talked about, he had the high school pedigree. He's played in other pro leagues. Maybe that helps him get an offer from another team, but I don't think they have, like, no faith in him. So I don't want to say the Pacers have no say in his future, but just given his story, where he's at, it's not easy to see what his future with the Pacers would look like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm definitely rooting for him, but, I don't know the Mad Ants like Pat Boylan's in-laws like you do, but I did watch some highlights of Brian Bowen's season. I don't know if this is a concept that is just kind of in my head or if other people think about this, but I mean, when I was watching some of those highlights, the way that Brian Bowen scores in the G League, it feels like he's scoring in a way that's not necessarily going to translate to
he NBA. Isn't great at beating his man, but he's not bad at it either. He's kind of, I actually described it. So someone asked me a mailbag like a year ago question. Hey, if the draft comes around, what do you think of Brian Bowen? No, it wasn't Brian Bowen. I'm sorry. It's PJ Washington. I said, PJ Washington is good at a lot of stuff, but not great at anything. And Brian Bowen was like that in the G League. And that is hard. Like, to be an NBA player, you got to be really good at a lot of stuff or great at a few things. And it's kind of hard to see what he's going to be awesome at. Although he is a good defender.
Yeah, I'll give him that. And I mean, it seems as though he had decent, you know, instincts around the rim, especially.
Good finisher, definitely.
But how much of that's going to be able to translate? And I mean, it's ultimately just going to be about if there's a team where he can get like just even 10 minutes a night consistently to where he
even be even for him
that.
Being in like the Ed Sumner spot of
exactly
having one injury away anytime would be huge.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the Pacers keeping him around in the role that he was in this year for
maybe. You know who's gonna fill the Edmund Sumner role for the Pacers next year?
Yeah, I mean
it's Edmund Sumner. So that's not
I could see him being on the team. I don't know, but yeah, unless injuries really start piling up.
Right. Ben Moore got the two-way, and then the next year got the contract. He's back with the Mannets now, actually, so he could be a path potentially for Bone. You know, he gets the deal next year, starts with the team.
Yeah, I feel like all these players, like we have a lot of – oh, oof. Did not mean to hit myself with the we there, but the Pacers have a lot of
It happens.
The Pacers have a lot of players that I don't know. I mean, you get excited about them, you know, developmentally. They hang around for 4 to 5 years, and eventually it's like at some point a step needs to be made. I mean, eventually eventually the Pacers got to that point with Joe Young, and he was off the team. I mean,
yep.
I don't really see Brian Bowen being the player that is able to make that step up. But I mean, we'll see.
We will. You know, I think from that Bulls game, we saw some nice, like he's a giant guard. He's huge. He's 6'7", 6'6" range. He's good on the glass for a guard. And yeah, you know, he's kind of like Brogdon, right? Brogdon, you're not, no one ever thinks this is that I'm not comparing the players. Brogdon never blows by a guy. You're never like, wow, he's so good at beating his man off the dribble. But because he's big, he just like every so often, every game gets a quarter step on a guy, and he's big enough, boom, he finishes. And like that's kind of how Bowen's offensive game is.
Yeah, no, that's a good like specific comparison.
And his shot's pretty good. He's a good spot up shooter for sure. He shoots a lot off the dribble in the G League because he has the ball a lot. So I think.
He's at that size
There's a blueprint for a useful end to bench wing there. It's just, will he ever get the opportunity? Will it be with the Pacers? I'm not sure because his start, great. You've helped fit in and helped the team win. That's awesome. And this is where the yin and yang comes with what you talked about there in Holiday. It's like, at the same time, the Pacers are happy you did what you fell in line and helped them win. But for you personally, Brian Bowen, now we didn't learn much about your skills. So
yeah, that's true. It'll take creativity. Especially in, you know, his scoring packages around the rim at the NBA level and probably a little bit better of a 3-point shot, honestly.
If the season does resume, maybe there'll be a game like last year, the last game of the season against the Hawks when they started like TJ Leaf, Edmund Sumner, you know.
Yeah, the way the standings are shaking up, it could very well be a non-essential game.
Yeah, like if the Sixers catch them or vice versa, they get ahead of the Sixers, who knows. You know, maybe there's a non-essential game at some point. They just go, yep, okay, kids, go play. Yeah. And then you see it. But who knows?
But, I mean, for what it's worth, I think that's probably the first Pacer I've ever seen play 2K. And you know,
yeah.
So he's
better at that than any other Pacer I've ever seen. That's right.
Yeah, my favorite 2K Pacer player.
Best I've ever seen. Undefeated, too.
Yeah. Honestly, I would love for – I mean, The team versus team thing is interesting, but honestly, I think the most entertaining aspect of that streaming experience would be teammates doing it rather than players on different teams, just because there'd be a lot more inside jokes, just a lot more things for them to talk about there. I mean, they're probably a lot more likely buddies than just two random players from two different teams.
Yeah.
I don't know how they would square who plays who in that scenario, since someone would not have to be the given team, but I feel like the stream itself and the commentary would be probably more entertaining. Like I would love to see, like, I don't know, Vic and Domas play against each
Riffin.
Other. Okay, yeah, that would be a good time. I would definitely, and I think most of Pacers Twitter would probably tune in.
They could do how Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye did the Road Tripping podcast.
Yeah.
You could have that with 2K on or something.
I'm definitely interested in. Like one aspect of this kind of period where we have no basketball is how these players interact with the world if they choose to. Because I mean, it's always been a presence on social media, and like, and it gets in, involved into like the media cycle and like sports news, like during times when we have sports, like all the time. But since now it's like the only thing that we have to talk about, it's very magnified. So, I mean, definitely don't post anything on Instagram that you don't want people to see kind of era right now.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. It will be the news.
But yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I'm interested in seeing, you know, what the players do with their free time. It should be a fun couple of months just to see where we go with our boredom, I guess.
Speaking of people and free time, Ryan, you are launching a project, I hear.
Yeah, that is true. Kind of developing the first episode, as you call it right now. It's going to be a little bit of a written archival thing as well as actual audio podcast, as the kids call it these days. Basically, what I want to do in these times of having no Pacers basketball, and even when we do get back to having times of Pacers basketball, is rather than having a podcast or just, you know, kind of talking about where the Pacers are at right now and, you know, wherever they're at in their, you know, current season, I wanted a podcast where we kind of, honestly, if you listen to Locked On Pacers earlier today or yesterday, their podcast on game one of that Lakers Pacers final is a very good representation of the kind of mood I'm trying to capture. Just looking back at a lot of very memorable moments in Pacers history. I'm going to be writing retrospectives for the Fieldhouse, where there'll be a lot more just kind of historical, kind of just me retelling the story with kind of the 2020 eyes. And hopefully the podcast aspect will be thinking maybe like rewatchables, the Ringer podcast, and just getting some people together, you know, hopefully people that maybe we're at that given game or have some connection to that given event in Pacers history. Just get, you know, three or four of us together and, you know, just talk about, you know, the good old days, get a little Pacers nostalgia going. You know, there's plenty of events in Pacers history to talk about. And I mean, more than anything, it's just an excuse to talk basketball and, yeah, and talk about the good old days. especially now that we're in a period where there's no basketball, very easy to.
We're in a period where I can do a whole show about a virtual basketball game.
Yeah, exactly. We're in a period where just starving for content, and you know, we took for granted maybe having 8 basketball games on every night. So, yeah. With that, I just, and also like it's an opportunity with all the free time I have now just to do that research and look up things that, I mean, like I'm 20 years old. I'm, lots of people on Pacers Twitter are pretty young. Like they don't know necessarily everything about those. Like that finals team, or even like those Reggie, Rick Smith's, Jalen Rose teams, because
learning, I mean, on the fly,
they weren't alive.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a big part of it too. Just trying to educate myself and others, hopefully. And as well as just, you know, having some fun and looking back on, cool moments of Pacers past. So, nothing definitive yet on when the first thing will be out, but, it's definitely something that I'm hoping to launch, at least the first retrospective on the Fieldhouse this week. So definitely look out for that. Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It should. It really should. Of course, you can follow Ryan. His basketball account is at Eggers NBA with 2 G's.
Yeah. Just finally, at Eggers NBA, E-G-G-E-R-S NBA. Finally decided to go for the NBA account. I've collected so many non-basketball followers on my personal Twitter account for so long that it just felt weird tweeting Pacers stuff. It's like, I know 500 people are going to see this and have no idea what I'm talking about. So yeah, please give me a follow on the new Twitter there. I'll give you a follow back.
Yes. Yeah. I recommend that. Everybody, thank you all for tuning in to our virtual recap of a virtual basketball game. Tomorrow, me and Adam will be answering your questions from Twitter in the mailbag. I think Ryan actually asked one of those questions. So that'll be fun. Talking a little bit more about real basketball, and then we'll do some season recaps and fake previews of real games that would have been happening. Ryan, thanks for so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me. What day is it now? Day 12 down?
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you for helping me get through another evening of no basketball.
Make it.
This one was probably more fun than most.
It was. So, yeah. I watched something live.
Yeah, right. Good time.
That's all for today's show, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.